This is Series 3 of the Tesla Academy podcast interviews. This was done at the end of June 2008 at the Alternative Energy Partnership Conference in Jarboe's Mill, Maryland. Here we are with Larry Jarboe. He's the person who organized this Alternative Energy Partnership Conference here in Maryland. It's his land we're sitting on right now. He's one of the county commissioners here in St. Mary's County. And the picture of this conference is incredible. I mean, there's all these folks just coming from all over the place with independently developed technologies. And how did you get the idea to start this off?
Well, Major Todd Hathaway and myself, Major Todd is a friend of mine, and he comes by the mill once in a while, and we talk about energy, you know, technologies and what can we do for the future, because we're united in the fact that we really need to get away from the fossil fuel. We need to get away from our dependency on the fuel in the Middle East, and we need to do things from an American point of view. We need American energy, and we need it now. That's the challenge. So we've been following things on the internet, what people are doing, and there's an amazing amount of communication going on through the internet. But it hasn't been, a lot of times you'll talk to people, but you won't know who you're talking to, you don't know where they're from, and you share bits and pieces of information, but you really don't see their projects. So we said, let's bring these projects together. Let's invite people to come and demonstrate, and those people who don't want to demonstrate, let them come and see what other people are doing so they can share with that information. So we decided to do this back in February, and we planned for the end of June, and maybe it would have been better to plan for the end of May. Might have been a little cooler, but it's not bad out. It's in the low 90s, so it's not terrible. But it's amazing how many people have flown or driven or whatever. I mean, they've come in from Wyoming, South Dakota,
yeah,
Toronto, Vermont, Florida, it's, Texas. It's really, yeah. I mean, Michael, you've been talking to people, and you know they've come from all over.
It's amazing, really, and it's a small number of people relative to, say, the turnout for a football game or something, but it's just such an energetic crowd in so many ways. I mean, these people know what they're doing, they know why they're doing it, and some of them, many of them, are very honest. Yeah, we only got a little ways on this, we're just tinkering, we don't know what we're doing yet, but that's what it takes. Some of the images I'm getting here are what it must have been like in the early 1900s when cars were first coming out, and the people who were developing cars would get together at little rallies now and then. And, of course, in Kansas, there were only two cars in Kansas in 1903, and they
but
ran into each other.
People came out to see them.
People
That's
came
right.
out to see them.
They wanted to see those cars.
And
absolutely.
And they traded information.
Absolutely.
And that's what's going on now.
And you know, that analogy is a great analogy, because in those days there were a lot of different little car shops making cars and, you know, their own designs and sharing information and marketing it. And today, there's the same thing is happening with hydrogen production, with making magnetic motors. You know, people are sharing that information, and that's pretty darn cool that they're willing to talk about it, they're willing to show, and like the SMAX booster, he says, you know, here's the booster, you can build it from the plans, you can buy it from me, you can get a kit, doesn't matter, whatever you is good, and it's a reasonably priced thing that you can put in your car and get better mileage. That's remarkable. There's other guys here that are providing information on solar, where you can install the solar panels on your house. That's fundamental technology now. We all know about that. But there's other guys who brought in magnetic motors, that these things do wild and crazy things.
They really do. And right now, the direction those are going to take in terms of development is a little bit unpredictable. But I think they are going to be a solution.
I hope as people experiment with them, they share their information and then show people how to duplicate it. That the motors with the ball door motors, that rotoverter, that's I'm looking forward to this evening, just sitting down as we wind down from the evening and pick that thing apart and try to figure out, you know, between the Bedini wheel and the rotoverter, what's going on here? Why does it use so little energy for the amount of output it has? It just, there are weird things in this world, and that's great. I mean, I've always been like a mechanical guy, and so the vapor carburetor, the little Geet rig I have, I can show people how that works. It's like a miniature refinery, and it's very efficient, but it does use fuel. Even the hydrogen boosters, we're using fuel.
Right.
But each time we use less fuel, it like gets better and better. And of course, we've got free energy machines, the solar panels, the wind generators. That's a free energy machine.
Exactly, yeah. People forget that, but those basic technologies really are free energy.
You know, I've had people tell me, well, you can't use gravity as an energy source. You know, you can't tap gravity. And I look at them and I say, well, what about a dam? You know, a hydroelectric plant is a gravity tap.
Yeah, and we're going to see more breakthroughs in gravity in the future.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't think the average scientists today can explain gravity.
They can't. Actually, they don't have the math to do it. Calculus falls apart when you try to examine gravity. And we need a whole new kind of math. Well, fortunately, it's been developed. A guy named Buckminster Fuller put together a mathematical system called synergetics. And just now, people are starting to evaluate it. And they're realizing that synergetics can make calculations about gravity that no other form of mathematics can make.
Yeah, Buckminster Fuller was one of the greatest designers of our time. Right up there with Tesla was the greatest inventor. And you know, our history books have left them behind, and there's a sort of a shame, and shame on the teachers for not teaching about a guy like Tesla. Any engineering course should include a whole section about Tesla and an understanding of his theories, his designs, what he did for us, and they've left him out of the equation.
Mm-hmm. That's true enough, and of course I've been fighting that battle for many years. I've been involved with various Tesla projects since 1984. One thing I was wondering, you have quite a mill here. You produce lumber here? Or?
We've been here for 50 years, over 50 years. In the back was a large mill operation that we've run, my dad first and then myself, for the past about 53, 54 years. Yeah, 54, 2008. We started in 1954. And over the years, the economics have changed. And I shut down my big mill about 2.5 years ago. We run this little Amish mill here. It's a band mill. We can do some special custom cutting. And I focus on running my dry kills. We buy from other mills in the area, custom dry. And we use sawdust. And we get the sawdust from the little mill, which produces, you know, the band mill produces some sawdust. We use that to make wood gas. And then the wood gas fires the boiler, burns very clean, very efficient, and closes the loop, and so we can afford to dry. We're going into some very bad times, and right now a lot of mills, particularly dry kilns, because they run on natural gas or propane or diesel fuel, they're shutting down. They can't afford to operate.
But with the wood gas,
we can afford to operate. We're sitting in it was a large investment many years ago. I'm glad I made it. I didn't think I was doing a good investment. I thought I'll never pay it off in my lifetime. Now I see a pretty good payback coming, and I can stay in business while other people are going out of business. We have a ship a lot to Spain, China. We load shipping containers. We drive for other people and export prep it, put it in the containers. It's a nice little niche, and as our dollar goes down, which is tragic, and it's the fault of the oil companies, I blame it on the World Bank. You know, there's a whole lot of dynamic to this, and it's choreographed. And so, you know, if it's an ill wind that doesn't blow somebody some good, and it's actually benefiting our business, it's benefiting the business of people who have junkyards because people can't afford new vehicles. Mm-hmm. It's benefiting people who are mechanics because people are keeping their cars running longer. So, you know, it's benefiting some folks, but most folks are suffering, and it's not right. And our job right now is to say, we don't need them to manipulate us anymore. We can develop our own energy. We can bring power to the people. And that's where I'm at, is I just want people to know they can be self-sufficient. They can be independent. And they can make their own energy plan. Don't listen to GM. Don't listen to the oil companies. Listen to your heart when it comes to this. Get on the internet. Do the search. come to these events. It's like a Chinese menu. You can pick and choose what fits your life, because we're all different, and let's celebrate that diversity rather than trying to put us all in the same box.
That's a very good statement. I really thank you for saying it that way, because I think that's going to help a lot of people right there, because a lot of times we need some cultural and political inspiration along with the technology.
Well, it's one of those things that I've been able to apply it in my life, and I'm fortunate to sit on a board of county commissioners. You know, basically a county commissioner is like a snake in a rut. I mean, they're about the lowest grade of political animal there is, okay? You know, we're not congressmen, we're not senators, we're simply local officials, and we don't set the price on the tax of oil, we don't set the price of oil, but what we can do is lead lives of example. And I'm hoping that people can see by my example, and our commissioner president, he drives a Greasemobile. So between two, and he's a Democrat, I'm a Republican, so between the two of us, we're hoping that people can see this is something we can meet in the middle on. There's no politics, no party when it comes to energy. We all need it.
Interestingly enough, for a long time, I've noticed the state of Iowa has been like that. A lot of things get settled on a kind of cooperative basis like you're talking about, and newspaper reporters will come up to the politicians and they'll say, well, how did you manage to agree on that? You're from different parties. And somebody will just say, well, no reason to oppose it.
When you're elected, after you're elected, you don't lay your principle down, but you have to lay that party banner down, because now you're on the same team. That you're, when you're on elected board, you're not really, you've run through the Democrat-Republican thing. That's the whole thing about elections. After that, you still have your principles, you still have the platform you ran on, but the reality is you are on the same team, you've got to come to consensus, you've got to find the answers, it's your job to provide the solutions. I'm totally disgusted with what's going on in Washington, because each side stalemates the other on purpose.
Yeah.
And I think it's choreographed. I think they are doing it basically to disrupt the system, to accomplish nothing of real benefit to the people.
It seems like a lot of times they're proving stuff that doesn't even need to be proved. And that's a crime, you're right. Well, anyway, Larry, thank you very much. And it's been good talking.
Michael,
with you.
Thank you. And
Tesla Academy podcast series originates in Cheyenne, Wyoming at the Tesla Academy, www.teslaacademy.info. Thank you for listening.